He that hath the Son hath the life. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Make sure that your eyes are fixed on Jesus, beloved. Be focused, beloved, on Him alone. We've been looking, indeed, beloved one, at the offerings, the sacrifices that were offered up to Yahweh inside the tabernacle, and how the Lord was calling them out, His people, to bring these sacrifices to Him, because in doing so, they were brought close to Him. That's what the word sacrifice means. Korban in Hebrew, it means to draw close. This entire teaching is available on our website or by calling the 800 number at the end of the broadcast. I'm getting to the end of this series today. I'm not going to review all the different offerings today. What I'm going to be talking about today, beloved, is Yeshua HaMashiach and how He fulfills all the offerings that were offered up to Yahweh in the tabernacle. So, Father God, we just ask You right now to send Your Spirit, Father God, into me, that, Father God, I might be used as a vessel for You to be able to communicate to Your people, Father God, that which is pleasing to You and that which accomplishes Your purpose. Father, Your Word says that Your Word will go forth and will not return void. And so I pray, Father God, for Your Word to accomplish all that You desire to accomplish through the preaching of this broadcast, Father, through the preaching of Messiah Yeshua, through this broadcast, Lord, gain much fruit, I pray. And all God's people spoke Hebrew and said, Amen. Beloved, a lot of times people are not clear in their thinking as it relates to who Yeshua is for them. Many people think, beloved, in their life, it's Yeshua plus. They think it's Yeshua plus my works. If you're in the Messianic movement, you think it's Yeshua plus speaking Hebrew, Yeshua plus keeping the law. And people are adding to what God's final solution is. It's only, beloved, and it's all about Yeshua. And one of the things that the devil does is he creates distractions. And even though you may not think that it's about Yeshua and something else for you, if you would really examine your thought processes, perhaps for some of you, oftentimes it is. On the one hand, you think that you're saved by the grace of Yeshua, yet on the other hand, you're afraid if you don't do this, this, and this, and this, and this, you might not be saved. The reality is, beloved, if we are saved, the Holy Spirit's in us, and He's going to produce fruit. Yeshua said, abide in me, and you'll bear much fruit. But you're not saved by your works. You're saved by Yeshua alone. And so we're going to be looking now at the book of Hebrews, showing how Yeshua is the fulfillment of all these sacrifices. And if we have Him, beloved, we have everything, that He indeed is all we need. I'm going to the 8th chapter of the book of Hebrews. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but hallelujah, the word of Adonai, the word of God, abides forever. Adonai is just the Hebrew way of saying Lord. Hear the word of God as I begin now in Hebrews chapter 8, verse 1 and 2, talking about how Yeshua is the fulfillment of all the sacrifices that the Lord called the Israelites to bring near to Him. Reading verse number 1. Now the main point in what has been said is this. We have such a high priest who has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heaven. In the second verse, a minister in the sanctuary and in the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched, not man. For every high priest is appointed to offer both gifts and sacrifices. Hence, it is necessary that this high priest also have something to offer. Well, the point here as we begin, beloved ones, is that Yeshua had something to offer. He didn't bring with Him a burnt offering consisting of an animal or a grain offering consisting of the mincha or the gift offering in Leviticus 3. The offering that Yeshua brought, beloved, was the offering, Ephesians 5:2, of Himself. Let's continue on in verse number 6. Hear the word of God. But now, He has obtained a more excellent ministry, by as much as He is also the mediator of a better covenant, which has been enacted on better promises. For if that first covenant had been faultless, there would have been no occasion sought for a second. And he continues on, referring to the fact that Yeshua Himself, beloved, has come and brought a better covenant. It's important if you're in the Messianic movement to not mix, beloved, law with Yeshua. The law has a purpose. I'm going to be talking about that in my next series. We're going to be looking in my next series at the role of the law for the Christian today. But it's important that foundationally and fundamentally, it's not Yeshua plus the law. It's Yeshua alone that saves you. The covenant that the Lord inaugurated, beloved, in Yeshua is complete. Listen to the 8th verse. Behold, days are coming, says the Lord, when I will effect a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, not like the covenant which I made with their fathers on the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt. For they did not continue in my covenant, and I did not care for them, says the Lord. The Lord says in another portion of Scripture that the Mosaic covenant has become obsolete in terms of the former purpose that it served. We're no longer, beloved, connected to the Lord through the Mosaic covenant. This is what Romans 7 is about. We're connected to the Lord now through Yeshua. Romans chapter 7 tells us that before Yeshua came, we were married as Israelites or as Jews to the law. But the Bible says that that is compared to a woman that is bound to her husband in marriage, and she's bound to her husband as long as her husband is living. If she were to get connected to another man while her husband was living, the Lord instructs in Romans 7, she'd be in adultery. But if her husband dies, she's released from her husband and she's free to be joined to another man. This is what the Lord is telling us about our relationship formerly to the law. Before Yeshua came, we were married to the law. But once Yeshua came and died, and through his death and shed blood and ascension inaugurated a better way, we're released from the law to no longer be joined to the law, beloved, but to be joined to God through Yeshua. And so we want to make real clear, it's all about Jesus. It's only about Yeshua. All the time, beloved, it's only, hallelujah, about Yeshua HaMashiach. It's the Lamb that's in the center of the throne. When we get to heaven, we're going to be giving glory and honor to the Lamb. We're going to be worshiping Him forever and ever to the Lord and the Lamb that's in the center of the throne. It's not going to be the Lamb plus our works. It's not going to be the Lamb plus our own self-righteousness. It's not going to be the Lamb plus speaking Hebrew. It's not going to be the Lamb plus doing religious things. It's only going to be, beloved, the Lamb, the Lamb, the Lamb. Hallelujah and amen. We're going to continue on in the 13th verse of Hebrews chapter 8. But when he said a new covenant, he has made, listen now, the first obsolete. The Bible says that that Yeshua HaMashiach's coming in Romans chapter 3 was witnessed by the law and the prophets, but that Yeshua came apart from the law and the prophets. In other words, we are saved, beloved, by a righteousness that's not connected to the law and the prophets. We're saved only by the righteousness that was witnessed to or attested to by the law and the prophets. But when Jesus came, he came apart from the law and the prophets. And so it's Jesus alone that saves us. And Galatians chapters 2 through 4 tell us that our relationship to the Mosaic law is no longer as it was. That relationship, it says in Hebrews chapter number 8, 13, has become, hallelujah, obsolete. What am I trying to say, beloved? It's only about Jesus. If you just concentrate on Jesus, if you just concentrate, beloved, on abiding in Him, if you just concentrate on learning how to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, read the Word of God to better understand God's ways. The teaching of the law is valuable when you don't approach the law as legalism or in trying to earn your own righteousness, because the law is a revelation of God's nature, but it only has to be about Jesus. We don't look, beloved, listen now, we don't look at Jesus through the law. We look at the law through Jesus, and there's a big difference. Everything else, beloved, takes care of itself if we just focus on Him. Keep building yourself up in prayer. Keep praying to Him night and day to strengthen you. The Apostle Paul tells us in Ephesians chapters 1 through 3 that we should be praying that God would strengthen us with divine might in our inner man. We keep asking God to strengthen us inside by His Spirit so that we can be led by the Spirit of God to follow Jesus. We keep on asking according to the prayer in Ephesians 1 through 3 that God would give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation to know Him. Beloved, if you just make it all about Jesus, if you don't get distracted, if you don't keep on, beloved, searching for Him endlessly in books. Jesus said to the Pharisees in John 5, you search the Scriptures because you think in them you have life. Yet it's these that bear witness of me, and you refuse to come to me that you might have life. Life is found in Jesus. He that hath the Son hath the life. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. If you just make it about Jesus, beloved, make sure that you're not under some religious tradition. Make sure that you're not under some religious culture. Make sure that your eyes are fixed on Jesus, beloved. Make sure that you're honoring Jesus. Make sure that He's your God, beloved, and you will not be led astray. You've received an anointing from the Holy One, those of you that are His, and He's alive, and He will lead you in the truth. Jesus said, I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit, and He'll teach you all the things that I spoke. Be focused, beloved, on Him alone. I'm continuing now in the 9th chapter of the book of Hebrews, as we consider once again that Jesus is the fulfillment of the Mishkan, the tabernacle, and all the sacrifices that were offered there. I'm going to be reading now in the 11th verse. But when Messiah appeared as a high priest of the good things to come, he entered through the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this creation, and not through the blood of goats and calves, but through his own blood. He entered the holy place once for all, having obtained, listen now, eternal redemption. That section of scripture starts out, but when Messiah appeared, but when Messiah appeared, but Messiah's come, seek after him alone. Let's continue on with the 10th chapter, verse number 1. For the law, since it has a shadow of the good things to come, and not the very form of things, can never by the same sacrifices, year by year, which they offer continually, make perfect those who draw near. Again, the law is the shadow. Is the shadow valuable? Absolutely. The shadow, beloved, helps us to understand the substance. But the shadow, beloved, isn't the substance. And so we study the sacrifices as we've been doing over the last several months to find out what they mean and how do they apply to us in our walk with Jesus. But we continually fix our eyes on Jesus, beloved, the author and the finisher of our faith. We continue on there in the 9th and the 10th verse. Hear the word of God. Then Yeshua said, Behold, I have come to do thy will. He takes away the first in order to establish the second. Some of you that watch my show may think that I'm something or not, beloved. I'm not trying to call people back to Judaism. I'm not trying to call people back to the Mosaic Law. I believe that, beloved, we should teach the Mosaic Law in the sense that it's holy, spiritual, righteous, and good, according to Romans 7. But, beloved, that it never, beloved, takes the place of Jesus. That we look for the spiritual application of it today in terms of how we follow Jesus. But we're always looking at Jesus, beloved. He's the telescope that we're looking through. He's the lens that we're looking for. Listen again to what the Word of God says in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 9. Behold, I have come to do thy will, Jesus says. And then the commentator says, the writer of Hebrews says, he, meaning Messiah, takes away the first. He's replacing the Mosaic Law. He takes away the first in order to establish the second. Now, don't misunderstand. Scripture needs to be interpreted with Scripture. Yeshua said, don't think I've come to abolish the Law and the Prophets. I've not come to abolish but fulfill. I believe that 100%. But, beloved, the point that the writer is making here is that the Mosaic Law holds a different place now in the believer's life. The believer is no longer married to the Mosaic Law and gets to the Lord through his relationship with the Mosaic Law. The believer, beloved, now is released from that, Romans chapter 7, to be married to the Lord, beloved, through Jesus. That's what the writer of Hebrews is talking about here. He takes away the first in order to establish the second. Read Romans 7 for yourself, and you'll understand more clearly and more fully what the author is saying here. We're continuing on, beloved, in the 11th and the 12th verse. Every priest stands daily ministering and offering time after time the same sacrifices, which can never take away sin. Now notice here in verse number 11, that the priest in the tabernacle, they stood continually. Listen again to verse number 11. Every high priest stands daily. You know, when you're standing, the work's not done. But what did Jesus do after he made his sacrifice, beloved? He sat down. Every high priest stands daily, ministering and offering time after time the same sacrifices. The work's never done. That's why the priest is standing, which can never take away sin. But listen to this. But he, having offered one sacrifice for sins for all time, listen now, sat down, hallelujah, at the right hand, hallelujah, of God. Yeshua, beloved, sat down. It's finished. Jesus, beloved, paid the price for your sin. His death on the cross, beloved, took away all your sin, the past sin, your present sin, the future sin. Sometimes you ask yourself, well, did the Lord's death on the cross for me, is that going to take care of my sins in the future? Beloved, when he died on the cross 2,000 years ago, all your sins were future. Jesus, beloved, having offered up himself, sat down once and for all. His blood, beloved, purges us of sin. And the blood of Jesus, beloved, it's like a waterfall. If you want to understand the power of Jesus' blood in its ability to forgive you and cleanse you, imagine yourself standing under a waterfall of Jesus' blood for the rest of your life. Imagine that. For the rest of your life, imagine yourself in your mind's eye. Use your imagination, Yadid, standing under a waterfall of the pure, beautiful blood of Jesus. His blood just keeps on cleansing. It keeps on forgiving, beloved, for the rest of your life, as long, beloved, as you're worshiping him and seeking to serve him and love him, beloved, by the grace of God. I want to read this last verse, this last section in Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 14, 18, and 19. Hear the word of God, my friends. For by one offering, he, Messiah Yeshua, has perfected for all time those who are sanctified. What does it say? For all time. Remember, the priest in the tabernacle had to keep on offering the same sacrifices year after year. But once you come into relationship with the Lord through Jesus, once and for all time, your sins are forgiven. Listen again. For his one offering has perfected for all time those who are sanctified. And why should we be confident? Listen to verse number 18 and 19. Now there is therefore forgiveness of these things. Let me read it again. Now where there is forgiveness of these things, there is no longer any offering for sin. It's done. Jesus sat down. Since therefore, brethren, we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus. He's saying it's done. I want you to come to me, the Lord says. There is no condemnation now for those of you that have come to me through my Son, Messiah Jesus. I want you to know, the Father says, I love you. I want you to know that whatever you've done in the past, the blood of Jesus, beloved, is sufficient. It's not that part of your sins forgiven. It's not that the Lord has forgiven you for some things, but not everything. Once and for all, Jesus' blood is perfected for all time, beloved, those that are his. And God wants us to believe this. He wants us to sink our teeth into this. He wants us to sink, beloved, our faith into this. And knowing this, he wants us to be able to come to him, beloved, boldly, the scripture says, before the throne of grace, developing our relationship with him. Let me tell you, if the Lord took out the penalty for your sin on Jesus, he has no interest, listen, in taking it out on you too. When Jesus died on the cross, when they spit on him, beloved, when they laughed at him, when they plucked out his beard, when they pierced his side, when the Father turned his face away so that Yeshua said, Eli, Eli, why hast thou forsaken me? When he descended into the lower parts of the earth where hell is, beloved, he did all of that to experience your penalty, the second death. And now that the Lord has taken out the penalty for your sin on Jesus, he's not going to take it out on you too if you're his. He loves you. He's already taken out the penalty for your sin on his Son. He wants you to be assured of that, beloved, and he wants you to come to him now, boldly before the throne of grace, pouring out, beloved, your heart to him, opening up to him. Let me tell you, there's nothing that God doesn't know about you. There's no thought that you can tell him that's going to shock him. There's no part of your life, beloved, that God isn't fully aware of. Stop hiding, beloved. Don't let the devil keep you under shame. The blood and the sacrifice of Jesus, beloved, has made final atonement of your sin, and he's purged you, spirit, soul, mind, and body. Our only response now, beloved, is to have confidence in that and to come to him and develop intimacy with God with assurance and confidence in our heart that we're accepted, hallelujah, and we're received by him. Some of you, beloved, are still living in shame for sexual sins that you committed as a young adult. I want you to know you're released from that. Remember Jesus said to the woman that was caught in adultery? They wanted to condemn her. The spirit of condemnation of the devil was upon her. They wanted to stone her to death. Remember what Jesus said? He said, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. I want you to know, those of you that are worshiping, that are living under condemnation, Those of you that are living under condemnation and shame for sexual sins that you've committed in the past, I want you to know God releases you from that guilt and that condemnation. Just live for Him now. Just love Him now. We do have to repent. Jesus said, sin no more, that nothing worse may befall you, but you're free, beloved. Whatever you've done. I know that we get many letters from people in prison. I want you to know, if you're in prison right now watching this broadcast, Jesus loves you, beloved, just like He loves me or anybody else that's watching this broadcast. There's no second-class citizens in the kingdom of God. We're all sinners saved by grace, but by the grace of God, there go we all to do the worst possible things. God forgives you if you're in prison right now. He loves you. He accepts you. He doesn't want you living under guilt and shame. He just wants you to make the most of your life right now. You can't change the past. Paul said He forgets what lies behind, and He looks forward to what lies ahead, reaching toward the upward call of God in Messiah Yeshua. Stop allowing the devil to make you look back and regret and shame. Look forward, beloved, and do the best that you can right now. Many of us have guilt in our lives because of the way that we've raised our kids. If we could go start all over again, we'd do it differently. Many of you I know can identify me. I wish I could go back and start all over again. I think about times in my life when my little daughter was such a young girl, came up to me and she wanted me to spend time with her, and I was just so distracted at the time, I didn't even realize how important it was. Oh, I wish I could go back, but I can't. But you know what? All I can do now is trust in God's forgiveness, thank Him for it, do my best to be humble before my daughter, beloved, and do the best I can to be a good daddy today. And that's true of all of us. Father, I pray today, those that are watching this broadcast, would You help us know, Father God, according to Your word, that we're complete in Messiah Jesus. Help us to know, Father God, that You love us and accept us just like we are in Your Son. That You said, Father, that we've become the accepted in the beloved because of Yeshua's sacrifice, giving Himself up for us. Give us confidence, Lord, in our relationship with You. And Father, we pray today that You'll conform us to the image of the Lord Jesus. We want to be like Him, Father God, that obeyed You even to the point of death. And so we ask You, Father, that the power of the Holy Spirit would be mightily activated and at work in our life, conforming us to the image of Your Son. Father, we ask You to complete in us what You started in us. Father, You're the potter and we're the clay. And we place ourselves, Abba God, on Your altar. And we ask You, Father God, will You have Your way in our life? Father, we love You and we thank You.
I'm going to ask you a question. How old do you think I am? I'm just going to give you a second. Pick a number, whatever number comes to your brain. Well, I'm going to be 63 in a few days. So sometimes people think I look a little bit younger, but I've actually been around for a minute. And I've seen a big shift in the way that people are relating to the good news of the kingdom of God. You see, when I came to the Lord back in 1978 at 20 years old, the common way to absorb Christian teaching and content was you went to a physical building, you went to a church, and part of the church service was the congregants presented their tithes and offerings to the Lord to honor Him and to place themselves in a position of faith so they could receive. But today, the culture has shifted a lot. And so many people today are no longer attending churches. Instead, they're absorbing their content online. It's great to receive content online, but what sometimes is lacking is that those of us that are receiving content online, we're not responding by honoring the Lord with our finances. You see, when we honor the Lord with our finances, two things happen. Number one, we honor Him as God in our life. Because from the earliest portion of Scripture, the Lord told His people, honor Me with the first fruit of your wealth. It sounds like this guy's just some guy after. I'm just telling you what the Bible teaches. The second thing that we do when we honor the Lord with our finances is we open our heart to receive Him, because to honor the Lord with our finances takes faith, and God moves through faith. Beloved, the Lord says, don't forsake the ancient path. Return to the good way and walk on it. If we really want to love God and honor Him, we need to honor Him with our finances as well. If the Lord is using this ministry, these YouTube videos, to feed you, I want to encourage you to honor Him through this ministry. You can simply click on the description link attached to this video or go to discoveringthejewishjesus.com. God bless you and thank you.